This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Thursday afternoon, March 14th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Craft breweries in Illinois are expanding into the area of THC-infused beverages. We'll learn more in our next segment. But right now, reports on wholesale inflation and retail sales lead today's data. Let's see what they signal with the help of Paul Christopher, head of Global Investment Strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Paul, thank you for joining us today. The producer price index measures what businesses are paying for their goods before they pass those costs along to the consumer. And it suggests that, yes, indeed, January was not a one-off. Inflation is starting to heat up once again.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. Inflation is what we call sticky right now. That last mile down to around 2.5% where we need to see the rates go before the Fed can start to cut rates. But we're just not quite there yet. And the weakness in consumer spending kind of tells the markets that, hey, the economy's cooling, but inflation isn't yet. That's a bad combination for the Fed.
Yeah, I was going to say, when does the word stagflation enter the picture if the economy is slowing down, but inflation is not going down along with it?
Yeah, I mean, the first part of that word is stags, which comes from stagnation. The economy's far from stagnating, but it is slowing, and it's slowing gradually. We think that will continue probably into mid-year, perhaps a little beyond, and we need inflation to cool as the economy cools so that the Fed can cut rates. That's the market's expectation. The question is, what will be the timing of those three pieces?
We're talking about the producer price index report that came out this morning with Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. The numbers today, 0.6%, month over month, that was double the Dow Jones estimate. And how much of this can be attributed to the price of energy? Obviously, there's core PPI and then the overall PPI number, but how much of this is driven by energy prices?
If energy prices were really on the rise, I think that would be something on consumers' minds. But energy prices, although they're up a little bit, that's probably not the main thing. I suspect that what's really going on here is that consumers really spent a lot during the Christmas shopping season. They're pulling back a little bit here. We'll have to see if there's momentum beyond, let's say, the first couple of months of the year to that slowdown.
And a big chunk of the increase month over month in the PPI figure came from a over 1% surge in the prices of goods. That was the biggest increase since August of 2023. And is this a sign that once again goods manufacturing is picking up and that supply chain hiccups that we saw 2 years ago have healed and that that companies have a better handle on inventories?
Yes, companies definitely have a better handle on inventories. In fact, the retail inventories look to us like they had bottomed out, and maybe what we're seeing here is a little bit of inventory restocking, and that might prompt some friction higher in prices as those goods are demanded, you know, by stores to keep their inventories, get their inventories back up to where they want them to be.
Retail sales up 0.6% month over month. That is less than what analysts had expected. What can we make of that number?
Yeah, the 0.6, the headline number, not much to see from that. The difference between 0.6 and 0.8, not a lot. But January was revised down even further than it had been reported last month. And when you look at this, what they call the control group, which eliminates spending on components that could change quite a lot from one month to the next, like auto sales or restaurants. Even gasoline sales can change a lot from one month to the next, depending on weather. So you eliminate those volatile categories, and sales were flat. And that was, I think, the real piece that concerned the markets here.
Paul Christopher, Head of Global Investment Strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, efforts to turn around the struggling craft brewing industry in Illinois.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The pandemic posed a big challenge to Illinois' craft breweries, and many are still trying to recover, but a new innovation could help in the effort. Let's learn more from Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Ali, thank you for joining us today. And let's talk about first, before we go into the partnership with some THC businesses, just the stress that the craft beer space is under right now. I mean, it begins with the pandemic, but it doesn't really end there, does it?
That's correct. So basically, in the past 2 years, we've seen about 10% of the state's craft breweries go out of business. And a lot of that was, you know, they failed to see taproom traffic return to pre-pandemic norms. And that was where pre-pandemic, 70% of craft breweries' revenue came from their taprooms. So people sort of just changed their habits. They're also changed how they're drinking and what they're drinking. We've seen a lot of these ready-to-drink cocktails come to prominence. We've seen, you know, the hard seltzers, obviously, even non-alcoholic options. And then on top of all that, a lot of these breweries took out, you know, they took on debt to survive the worst days of the pandemic, and then hoping that the traffic would return like it was, and it hasn't. So they've had issues paying those off as well. So basically the name of the game right now is trying to find additional revenue streams beyond just the beer.
And so we're talking about THC-infused craft beer, and that sounds like a thorny legal and regulatory space.
It is. And so to be clear, it's not exactly craft beer. It's THC-infused beverages. So a lot of these are sort of like a sparkling seltzer with THC infused into it. So you're not getting the alcohol and the THC in these. It's just the THC. But it is legally murky because this THC is not derived from recreational cannabis. It does not exist in that market, which is highly, highly regulated in Illinois. It's been legal since 2020 here. This THC comes from hemp, which was, you know, growing hemp was made legal by a law federally in 2018. You can farm hemp and grow it as long as the THC level is below 0.3%. So what these extractors are doing is just extracting a whole lot of hemp to get the potency. And then they deliver it to these craft brewers and they're infusing it into these beverages. So, you know, it's not illegal, but it's also not regulated the same way that, you know, cannabis is in the state. And there's a little bit of murkiness around that.
We're talking THC-infused beverages with Ali Marotti, a restaurants and retail reporter, Crane Chicago Business. What do the THC-infused beverages do to you? I mean, not you personally, Ali, but if you order one, how do you feel afterwards? I mean, is it do you feel high? I mean, what's the effect on the user?
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, so let's take as an example, the drinks that Hopewell Brewing in Logan Square are making. So they are making these, they're in 8-ounce cans, they're little. One of the options has 3 milligrams of THC, which is very low. That is like a really nice low dose that would not get you too high. Their other one has 10 milligrams of THC, which is a little bit more, right? So you probably will be feeling the effects, you probably will be feeling high. So what they're kind of thinking is people might come in, this might cater to the crowd that isn't wanting to drink alcohol. Maybe they want to treat it as a nightcap. So maybe they've had a few drinks elsewhere and they want one more, but they don't want to get too drunk. So there's that, you know, I mean, it probably will make you sleepy. It probably will, you know, kind of make you a little giggly, that sort of thing. But I think the interesting thing here, and the other breweries I talked to beyond Hopewell are doing this as well, they're staying in the really low dose era. You know, they don't want to get people too high. They don't want there to be any, like, you know, accidentally too high situations, I think.
Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter, Crane Chicago Business, and the breweries hope this is going to be a new source of revenue for them. Coming up next, a national theater chain inks an Olympic-sized deal.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Movie theater AMC has reached a deal with NBC to show live daytime coverage of this summer's Paris Olympics. Let's get the details from Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore, based in Los Angeles. Paul, thank you for joining us today. How does this arrangement work? What will you be able to watch, assuming you buy a ticket, and this is a ticketed event at an AMC movie theater?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Rob. I love this idea. It'll be in approximately 160 AMC locations nationwide, starting on July 27 and running through August 11. It doesn't include, according to the reporting, opening and closing ceremonies, which are usually very highly rated. But during select daytime hours, NBC Universal's live coverage of the 2024 Paris Olympics will be shown on the big screen in movie theaters. This is a great way to bring more people into the movie theaters, exposed to that experience, the communal experience of the theater, and see in theater marketing and perhaps trailers for upcoming movies.
Now, this seems like a combination of past and present, because I'm sure there are a lot of people with memories of seeing pay-per-view boxing matches at movie theaters. Andy Gersher, the producer of the New Business Hour, showing him an old promo for the first WrestleMania in 1985, which, if you didn't want to buy it on cable in your home, you can go to the movies and watch WrestleMania there. But you're also combining that with the experience of seeing the Beyonce movie and seeing the Taylor Swift movie and turning this into an interactive experience as opposed to just watching it at home.
It's really cool, because, and you're right, what's old is new again, because this isn't really a new strategy. I mean, this has happened before, as you mentioned, with WrestleMania boxing matches way back in the day. But this takes it to another level, because now many of these theaters, especially AMC, they have in-theater dining. You can get food and drink options while you're watching the Olympics with a lot of other people all together. You know, I just think it's one of those great ways that movie theater companies like AMC are innovating in order to get people back into the movie theater.
Now, have they said that the events that you will see in the movie theater, are they events that will not be available on the NBC television network? That is something you cannot see on free TV, but you may not have the Peacock app, which will give you access to everything. It's stuff that maybe not that may be behind a streaming paywall, and that's going to be in the movie theater as opposed to something that's just on plain old broadcast television.
Exactly. And I think that makes it even more unique and compelling, because it's content that you may not be able to get at home, or if you don't have streaming, let's say, or the opportunity to stream this content, you can go to a movie theater to see it, to see the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. It'll be amazing to do that in theater. I just think it's great innovation. Look, the sky's the limit in terms of what can be presented in a movie theater, from gaming, which we've seen, to concerts, as you mentioned, opera, and now the Olympic Games. So who knows what's next? We'll have to wait and see.
Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore, based in Los Angeles. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, a discussion of what lies ahead for TikTok.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Chicago gets federal assistance to try to control the spread of measles. The majority leader of the U.S. Senate is openly criticizing the Israeli prime minister. It's Technology Thursday, a bill calling for Chinese tech giant ByteDance to divest its TikTok platform advances in Washington. A substantial number of young people find themselves trying to keep up with the Joneses when it comes to money. WBBM Business, the markets are lower. The Dow is down 229 points. The NASDAQ is down 90. The S&P 500 is down 31. 58 degrees right now in Chicago under partly sunny skies at 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, a team of experts from the Federal Centers for Disease Control have arrived in Chicago to help manage a measles outbreak. City and state entities are also part of that effort. Susan Bleasdale is the chief quality officer at the University of Illinois Hospital and Health.
About one out of every 1,000 cases of measles can develop an infection in the brain called encephalitis, and that can cause significant complications.
10 cases of measles have been confirmed across the city, 8 of them among migrants living at a shelter on the southwest side. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says Israel's leader is a key obstacle to Middle East peace.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing his political survival to take the precedence over the best interests of Israel. He has put himself in coalition with far-right extremists like Ministers Smotrich and Ben-Gavir. And as a result, he has been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for Israel worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah.
Schumer is the highest-ranking Jewish government official in the U.S. He's calling on the Israeli government to hold new elections. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are in the red. Let's check in on what's weighing on the markets with Jack Ablin, chief investment officer with Crescent Capital based in Chicago. Jack, thank you for joining us today. And if you've been listening to the noon business hour ever since inflation took off towards the end of 2021, I think everybody was in agreement that the easy part was getting it down to about 3%. The hard part is getting it from 3% to 2%. It's kind of like losing weight. And we learned that lesson once again today with the PPI report that came out today.
That's it. Yeah. PPI and retail sales came out today. And unfortunately, both really sending signals in the wrong direction. PPI stronger than expected, came in at 0.6. Economists were expecting 0.3, and retail sales came in what seems like a good number on the surface, 0.6, but economists were expecting 0.8. A lot of the move upward was autos and home repair stores, and then furniture and apparel were kind of on the negative side.
And this seems to be scrambling everyone's expectations for interest rate cuts later this year. The idea of 6 rate cuts, that was kind of the optimistic scenario back in December, that's gone by the boards, it would appear. And maybe the 3 rate cut scenario is increasingly unlikely.
Yeah, that's it. We went from debating 5 to 6 rate cuts at the beginning of the year to now potentially 3 or maybe even 2 rate cuts. But what I find remarkable is the stock market is doing reasonably well, even in the face of these higher for longer rate environment. And I think, I wrote a piece today suggesting that it's productivity that's helping boost profits and helping boost growth and actually helping boost standards of living, even though rates remain stubbornly high.
It seems like that everyone is starting to agree with your analysis that they're okay with maybe this 3% inflation and a higher for longer interest rate scenario, as long as the productivity is there, as long as the growth is there, and as long as the increase in employment continues to be there.
Yeah, that's it. I think that, employers are certainly facing a tight labor market. They've had to get creative. We've seen business investment pick up a little bit. And I will say, by the way, all of this productivity improvement that we've seen over the last few years or so, where the U.S. is really leading the rest of the world, is probably not AI related at all. I think the AI productivity, we have to look forward to in the coming years. But what we're seeing now is just the ability to, get more done with fewer workers. There's just a scarcity of employment right now.
Yeah, it's a combination of the lessons we learned 4 years ago, right about this time, when companies were forced to pivot and find new ways of doing business just because of the necessity of conducting remote work in March of 2020, combined with the fact that you still had to keep operating despite the fact that maybe people were moving on to see greener pastures as part of that great resignation.
Yeah, that's it. I think there was a big policy difference in the U.S. versus Europe. Remember, what we said was, look, we're taking care of the individual employee, whether they're working or they're not. If they're out of work, we will support you. Whereas in Europe and other places in the developed world, governments tended to support companies to keep everyone in place. And I think in some respects that was a benefit because there was less disruption. But I think here at home, because we had so many people sidelined and then having to hire so many people back, we saw obviously wages, particularly lower skilled wages in leisure and hospitality, where people had to work in person, go up the most. But employers had to get really creative, and we're starting to bear the fruit of that now.
And then very quickly, Jack, how does this complicate the Fed policy meeting next week?
Well, I would say, just about everyone's expecting them to stand pat on rates. Perhaps they're going to have to give some indication of when they're starting to schedule something. It's hard to tell because they're walking a tightrope. They can't wait too far into the year because they don't want to be accused of being political. But they can't lower rates too soon if these CPI and PPI reports keep coming in hotter than we expect.
Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, U.S. lawmakers look to change the ownership of TikTok.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday. The U.S. House has voted to forward a bill which could force China-based company ByteDance to sell TikTok within 6 months. Let's discuss what lies ahead with Dan Gallagher, tech reporter for The Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column in San Francisco. Dan, thank you for joining us today. And the measure that passed the House yesterday was a rarity in the world of politics, especially when it comes to contentious issues such as this. It passed with wide bipartisan support. It's moving on to the Senate now. And do the tech lobbyists in San Francisco anticipate it to pass that body by a substantial margin as well?
It's honestly unclear what's going to happen in the Senate. I don't think anybody has a super clear read on that because there's been mixed signals on that. And of course, and one factor is former President Trump has kind of come out against it, even though he kind of pushed the idea of a sale when he was president. And that could change at least the calculus for the Republican side. So I don't see it as a given, but certainly the fact that it got through the House and it kind of, it came out of nowhere last week and has quickly come through with such bipartisan support really does change the odds for this particular scenario.
If this bill does make it to President Biden's desk, the president says he will sign it. And then you have almost a rarity in the world of business. I don't know if you can even call TikTok beachfront property. It is a very lucrative business that would be on the market. And already there are buyers lining up to at least kick the tires on it, starting with a group led by the former Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin.
Yeah, and that's also getting like a few steps ahead, because it's right now, like if it goes through the Senate and if President Biden signs it, TikTok is, ByteDance is very certainly going to file a court challenge. So there's a big question about how that comes out. And then after, depending on how that shakes out, ByteDance has made clear that they do not intend to sell TikTok. So, you know, the a lot of ifs have to happen before like American buyers potentially get a crack at this. It seems, based on what ByteDance is saying now, it seems more likely that if this gets through and signed and survives a court challenge, that it will just simply essentially take TikTok off the U.S. market.
What are people saying about the idea that that ByteDance does not want to sell TikTok, even if it's forced to do so? Let's say it does pass a court muster of this legislation. ByteDance, which is owned by the Chinese government, stands to make a pretty penny on this. And what are people saying about the fact that maybe they can't be bought, that China wants to hold on to ByteDance and pass up a huge payday? Is there any kind of interpretation of that particular move?
I don't think they're fully outright owned by the Chinese government, but I think what's going on here is that, you know, ByteDance is worried, and I think, honestly, the Chinese government would be worried about, you know, that this could set a bad precedent for, you know, the American government essentially forcing Chinese companies to sell off prized assets, is a bad precedent if they honor that. So I think that's probably feeding into the calculus here. According to what my colleagues have reported, TikTok is actually not ByteDance's biggest source of revenue. So it's not like ByteDance, the company, necessarily dies without it. So I think what's entering this, you know, frame calculus is that, you know, allowing essentially U.S. government to take a prized property, like you say, wouldn't be a great precedent for them. And so I think that's going to play into what they ultimately decide to do here.
Dan Gallagher, tech reporter for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column in San Francisco. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, a survey finds nearly half of young adults have a certain money-related disorder.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A recent report by the financial website Credit Karma finds nearly half of young adults have a condition that's being called financial dysmorphia. We're joined by Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, author of the book, The Prescription for a Healthy Retirement. Chris, thank you for joining us today. And I like this segment because we're going to make you feel good. We're going to tell you you are, in fact, adequate, and it's all in your head. And before we get to the feel good portion of the segment, Chris, let's talk about what is financial dysmorphia?
It's really keeping up with the Joneses more than anything. But underneath that is a core belief that maybe you're just not good enough. And that's not true. When I was a kid, I was taught that there is not one snowflake that is ever duplicated. They're all completely unique. Well, we are just the same way. So for us to be so wonderfully made and unique, to compare ourselves with anyone else is really ridiculous, and it's so unhealthy.
Which is true, but at the same time, if you are walking down the streets of any suburb USA and you see an acquaintance roll up in a car that is larger and more expensive than yours, they invite you over to a house that has many more bedrooms than yours and go on vacations that are grander in scope than your trip to Holland, Michigan, how do you keep those voices at bay that say, maybe I'm not doing a good enough job being a provider for my family?
You know, it's like my dad used to tell me when I was a kid. When I did something really stupid and wrong, he would say, Christine, you either do it right or you don't do it at all. And so if on a daily basis you are doing your very best, that is all you can do. I mean, it's not to say you might not need more education or clarity or understanding. Maybe you need to get some people around you to help you to see things you don't see. But really, to compare yourself to that is unhealthy.
And what are some traps that you can fall into if you really do believe that you have to keep up with everybody else and you have to be that person with the nice house and the cool social media account?
Yeah, well, turn off some of your social media, number one. I mean, for people to understand how they feel about themselves based on thumbs up and thumbs down is a ridiculous behavior and so unhealthy. So you want to surround yourself with people that are speaking good things into your life, not lies, but helping you to see the good that's in you so that you can kind of rise up and be that person, not fall victim to how the media, social media, is trying to frame you. I mean, we're not some homogenized goop. You're an individual. Be that.
And then lastly, I mean, it's a funny thing that I was thinking to myself, you go through high school and college and you're comparing yourself to other people via appearance. And then you do settle down. You do get a career. You have all sorts of milestones that that you should be proud of. But then all of a sudden, that old feeling from when you were 17 comes back and you say to yourself, you know, I graduated from high school. I'm not supposed to feel like this anymore.
Yeah. Also tell yourself or ask yourself, are you doing the very best you can do? Don't fall victim to that negative self-talk.
So go out, go get them and turn off Instagram every now and then. Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, author of the book, The Prescription for a Healthy Retirement.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.